to the LA Dreaming Podcast, your guide to exploring Los Angeles. This is your host, Michelle from LADreaming.com, talking to you about the Rose Parade and our very first two-part episode. I am so excited to welcome today's guest to the show. We have my mother, Bonnie Mink, on to talk about the iconic Rose Parade with us. And this is going to be a two-part episode. So in part two, we are going to be joined by a family friend who has built and designed floats for the Rose Parade. But for today, we are just talking about the parade in general, a history of how it got started. And I'm so excited to have my mom here. So would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me. I am delighted to be a part of this. The Rose Parade has been a part of our family and part of something that we have enjoyed doing since I was a little girl. And I just think it is the best parade of all the parades. It's just the granddaddy of them all, for sure. I was born and raised in Southern California and lived there for many years and moved to Tennessee. And I have a beautiful family, and I'm just delighted to be talking about something that I love that is part of my New Year's Day every year, and that is the Rose Parade.
Well, and I think with the Rose Parade, it's so unique to California and just such a unique parade in general, especially because when I think of big parades that we have here in the States, of course, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade comes to mind, but that's completely different from the Rose Parade because out here for the Rose Parade, we don't have these massive balloons. It's just these beautiful floats made from all of these natural materials. So it, I think, is just so unique and just really unlike any other parade that I can think of.
I think you're correct. It's just amazing what they are able to create to make it look so real and so lifelike, knowing that all of the items that are used on the float, not only the beautiful, gorgeous flowers, but the seeds and the fruits and the grasses, it's just incredible what they're able to create. And not only that, the electronics, some of them, so much movement goes on the float. They go up, they go down, they shoot water into the audience. It's just, it's an amazing what they're able to create and what they're able to generate in excitement and different every year.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, especially with all the theming that changes every year as well, it's just so fun to see how these companies and organizations bring the theme to life in a really unique and fun way.
I agree. Every year it's different. Every year there's a theme and it's new and it's fresh. And I think the Tournament of Roses, they do an excellent job in sort of encapsulating what has occurred that year in the theme to carry over to the upcoming year to make it new and fresh.
I completely agree. I think it's really incredible how they do pick these themes that do feel relevant. And for example, when I went to the parade in 2015, the theme that year was inspiring stories, and the Grand Marshal was Louis Zamperini, and his life story was being told in this movie that had just come to theaters called Unbroken, which was directed by Angelina Jolie, and it went over his time as a prisoner of war from World War II. And then one of the first floats was a float by the city of Torrance, which was a dedication to his life. And it was just really amazing and incredible to see all of the other floats just kind of tie into that theme. So it's just amazing.
It is amazing how long the floats are and how they can navigate the streets and the tight turn between Orange Grove and Colorado Boulevard and making all that work. And some of the floats with the different animals that they will have, where it's all in seeds and grasses, and but it looks so real and the colors are so vibrant, not only on TV, but to see them in person is incredible. It's an incredible experience. I hope everyone gets an opportunity to at least once in their lifetime go and watch it in person.
Oh, I agree. I think it is so wonderful that people can watch it from around the world, but it's definitely something that watching it on TV just does not compare to getting to see it in person. And even though I've seen the parade in person, I still haven't gone as an adult where I can remember going to see the parades or the floats up close in person afterwards. So that's something that I would really like to do, because even just from the street, of course, you still get to see everything, but I want to be up close so that I can just see all of the details and really get to appreciate just how everything is pulled together.
Yes, that's something that my family did when I was growing up. Every year, as soon as the parade, the years that we did not actually go to the parade, we would hop in the car and drive straight to Victory Park and arrive just about the time that the floats were finished lining up. And it's an amazing experience to be able to see them so close. They have fence, of course, where you can't get right up to it, but you are so close, and it's just amazing when you see them that close. All the detail, it's just incredible what they're able to create.
I absolutely agree. It is just incredible what they are able to accomplish. And I do want to keep talking about the floats. But first, let's go ahead and go back a little bit to the beginning of the Rose Parade and how it all began. So the parade goes all the way back to 1890, and it was started by the Valley Hunt Club. And these were people that were former residents of the East and the Midwest. And when they got to California and realized how amazing the weather was, they wanted to showcase that to the world. So one of the professors at a meeting announced that in New York, people are buried in their snow, in the snow, but here our flowers are blooming and our oranges are about to bear. Let's hold a festival to tell the world about our paradise. So I love that this parade was started with the idea of wanting to showcase beautiful Pasadena and just Southern California in general, and how blessed we are to be in such a beautiful area and just have such incredible weather year round.
That is so true. And the backdrop for the parade on Colorado Boulevard and Orange Grove, the mountains that are the foothills that are just right there, are a perfect backdrop to the parade. And it's just so picturesque. Every year it seems, for the most part, it's just an absolutely beautiful day. Come parade time, it is just beautiful. It's a great backdrop in that area to showcase not only Southern California, but specifically Pasadena. They do an outstanding job with so many volunteers, and it takes a lot of people to pull the parade off. And it seems every year people get involved and get excited about it and participate. There's many people that participate and volunteer every year.
Oh, yes. And, you know, it truly could not happen without all of the volunteers. And we'll get into that a little bit more further on in our conversation. But just continuing on talking about the early years of the parade, when it was first organized, it was horse-drawn carriages that were covered in flowers. And they had foot races and polo matches and a few games of tug of wars. And it attracted about 2,000 people. And after seeing all of the flowers on display, a professor suggested the name Tournament of Roses, which it is still officially known as. But of course, overall, we like to call it just the Rose Parade. But by 1895, the event was too big for the Valley Hunt Club to continue handling. And that is when the Pasadena Tournament of Roses Association was born. And that has just continued to evolve and become the parade that we know it today, which is a mix of floats and bands and equestrians. And it is just so many wonderful pieces that all come together to march down Colorado Boulevard and just really create the icon of New Year's Day. And one other thing I wanted to point out, just in talking about the history, so the Rose Bowl itself was the game was created in 1902, and it was created to help fund the cost of the parade, which I did not know prior to the research. So I thought that was a fun little fact.
That is a great fact. And this year will be the 108th Rose Bowl and the 133rd Rose Parade. So it has quite the history, and it's quite an honor when your group gets invited to participate, or your equestrian team gets invited to march. It's just an amazing event to be a part of, I'm sure.
I know. I now wish that I could go back in time and be in marching band just to try to get to be in the parade.
I'm sure it's just a thrill of a lifetime.
And I'm sure you have to do so much practicing to be able to have the endurance to make it through the 5.5 mile parade route.
That is so true. And bands from all over the country that get invited, they have to march and march and march and practice so that they are able to not only stay in sync and in the right timing, but also for the endurance as well.
Yeah, it's very impressive, I think, to be able to make it through that parade route as somebody walking it, but not only just walking it, but also playing and just getting all the timing down. It's really quite incredible.
It is. In 2019, when I was at the parade in the grandstands there, it's such an exciting time. You get to meet people that have come from all over for the parade. And the family that was right in front of us had their son was in one of the marching bands that was performing in the parade, and they were just so excited. It was their first time to see the parade in person. And so our whole section, when their child's band came through, our whole section stood up and it clapped and cheered for them. And it was such a fun moment.
And just moving right along, I just wanted to cover a little bit for people that may not know what the rules are with the floats as far as what they have to be made of in order to get to qualify to be in the parade. So the surfaces of the float must be covered in natural materials, and that can be flowers, plants, seaweed, seeds, bark, vegetables, or nuts, for example. Furthermore, no artificial flowers or plant material are allowed, nor can the materials be artificially colored. But again, speaking to what we touched on earlier, it is just absolutely incredible to see what people can bring to life using those materials. Because I think from a distance, you would just never believe that most of these floats are made with those items just because of how incredible they turn out. But I think especially once you can get a closer view, you can actually see, oh yes, it is made from those materials. It's just done in such an incredible and creative way.
It's also amazing how many volunteers it takes to create those floats and help them come from what the design is, help them come to life. And you can volunteer as an organization or as an individual. You can also tour the warehouses where the floats are being built so you can watch them come to life. I've been fortunate to be able to actually work on some of the floats and help them come to life. And that is a very fun experience. It's very magical the way the floats, where they, before they debut in the Rose Parade and they're in their final stages, when those last little bit, when the seeds and the bark and the fruit or the grass or the flowers start going on. Normally the flowers go last just for, they're all in individual vials so that they stay fresh the longest. And it's amazing the process, the Rose Parade and the float designers are so organized the way they have it, where for you volunteer, they give you a little palette and it tells you with a little diagram exactly where they go and exactly how it should be and each little space. And there's professional float designers as well as volunteers that are directing or helping to put these things together. But the professionals are the ones that are guiding and directing you to be able to assist them. And it's just an amazing experience. If you're interested in that, each float builder organizes their own volunteers. So you just go to the website and it'll have guidelines, COVID guidelines as well, to be able to assist in that. It's a great experience.
Yeah, for this year, because that is something that I've never done, but I've always wanted to do, is help decorate one of the floats. So I had looked up to get an idea of who was building floats this year, and I saw that there is one that's going to be put together in Downey. So since that's over on my side of town, I had signed up for their email list. So I did get an email that said they're going to be decorating from December 26th through the 29th, and then it has a few different time slots. And from what I get out of the email, you don't have to sign up ahead of time. You do need the information from the email in order to know where to go. But I just signed up through their website to get on the email list. And so I'm really hoping that later this year, I can make it to help decorate one of the floats.
That it's an amazing experience. The Downey float is the one that I helped on as well, because it was close to where I lived and it was just very convenient. And my Girl Scout troop helped as well. And I did it as an individual with some friends. So it's just a great way to be a part of the parade.
Well, and one thing that I think is really cool, especially for locals to get to take advantage of, is as far as participating in Rose Parade themed activities, they're not even limited to just this time of year. In normal times, of course, we're still waiting for things to get better, but you were able to take a tour of the Tournament of Roses house. So I'm really hoping that that tour comes back soon, because that is something that I have not gotten to do, but I would love to do. And the Tournament of Roses house in Pasadena is actually the Wrigley Mansion. So it was owned by the man who created the famous Wrigley chewing gum. And after he and his wife passed away, it was their wish that the house be left to the Rose Parade. And it just looks absolutely amazing from the photos that I've seen. So I would love to tour it. I know on the outside, you can currently go and look at the Rose Garden. And that's where they have an official Tournament of Roses rose that was created specifically for the organization. And I saw on their Instagram that they do have a few other cool little things to see on the outside. So if you're close by, it might be worth a visit, even just to see a few things outside of the house. They do have an Olympic flagpole that was from Winter Olympic Games that took place in California. So that's in front of the mansion and it looks really cool. And then they also have a little free library where you can come take a book and leave a book. But the little free library is a replica of the house. So it's absolutely adorable.
That is amazing. I have been to the outside of the house and on the grounds, but I have not been able to tour on the inside. But I would absolutely love to do that. It's a beautiful place and it just is a great headquarters for such a magnificent parade.
It's really cool that they did the tours for free. I feel like not a lot of people got to go though, because they only take place on Thursdays and only at specific times. So of course, for most people who work Monday through Friday, that might not necessarily work out for you, but hopefully that will come back and we can all go and check it out and get to enjoy it. Because the best part about being local to this area is that we have all of these wonderful things in our backyards. But even if you're not local, you know, it's really great when you can find the time to get to fit that into a trip as well, whether or not you're here for the parade. The tours, from what I had read, they would go from February to August. So if you weren't necessarily out here for New Year's, there are still events throughout the year that you can go and see the house. I know for a few years, they also had trick-or-treating. So on Halloween, kids could come to the house and members of the Rose Parade Royal Court would hand out candy. And there's so many events that the Royal Court goes to throughout the years. And oh, I honestly, reading about the Rose Parade Royal Court kind of makes me wish that I had grown up in Pasadena so that I could have applied, because this sounds like something that I absolutely would want to be a part of. But essentially, what the Royal Court is, so every September, there's an average of 1,000 young women who apply for the opportunity to be on the court, and it's between the ages of 17 and 21. The Royal Court is selected by the administration. There's the Queen of the Tournament of Roses, also known as the Rose Queen, and there's 6 Rose Princesses. So they ride on a special designed float for the parade. They also preside over the Rose Bowl game. And then it says that they attend over 100 events in the Southern California area during their reign on the court, which sounds absolutely exhausting, but I'm sure they get to do really cool things.
Oh, you would be absolutely perfect for a Rose Queen or Princess, and you would have loved every minute of it. It does sound like they have a lot of responsibilities and a lot of things that they are able to do, but I am sure it is just a joy and a thrill to be a part of. And I look forward every year to seeing their float. Even though it's similar each year, it's also unique and different.
Oh, yeah, just like everything else associated with the parade. And a few other things I wanted to touch on is the fact that every year there is a Grand Marshal. So for this year, the Grand Marshal is LeVar Burton. And the theme for this year is Dream, Believe, Achieve, which I think just sounds incredibly inspiring and is the perfect theme. And I am so excited that this is being brought back to life.
I agree. It's just going to be, I can't wait. It's just going to be so exciting. Not having it for a year, I think, makes me appreciate it even more.
And I hope it's encouraged people who haven't seen it before, but have always thought, okay, one day I want to go to the Rose Parade. I really hope that it encourages people to get to go or to try to go this year, since nobody had the opportunity to go last year. So I really hope that it just gets people out a little bit more.
There's two ways to see the parade. One is purchasing a ticket for the grandstands, which I have done, and that is a great way to see the parade. I took the bus one time from the shopping mall near my home, and it just drove us right to the back behind the grandstands and let us off. And we just walked right up to our seat, and then it picked us up. The bus picked us up right behind the grandstand. So it was very easy. We didn't have to worry about parking or traffic. And it was just exciting to be able to see, be a little higher up and be able to see floats coming ahead, or equestrian groups or bands coming ahead, and not only what was in front of you, but what was coming. I've also camped overnight and been right on the curb, and that has its own enjoyment and excitement. It's very thrilling to be just right there with the bands and the floats and everything happening just literally right in front of you.
Now, would you say that one was a favorite over the other, as far as, did you prefer having a seat and not having to camp out? Or
when I was younger, I absolutely loved camping out. I thought it was so fun, and you got to stay up. Who doesn't want to stay up all night when you're young? I would go with my family and with my cousins and with our church group, and we would camp out, and you stay up all night, and it was so much fun and exciting. And then when the parade finally comes, you just can't hardly believe that it's finally there and it's happening so close to you. And it's really a great way to kick off the new year. However, I have to say that as I got a little older, the grandstands are great. You don't have to get up as early. You don't have to stay up all night. And you have your own space, and you're up a little bit. And normally the grandstand area also have porta potties underneath them that are for your use. And it just makes everything nice and convenient and It's easy in, easy out. You can even prepay for parking or take shuttles, or as I said, you can get buses or shuttles from offsite locations that will take you just right to your grandstand. So it's just so convenient. I love the start of the parade. Normally there's the stealth bomber or there's a flyover. There's just some excitement when you know the parade is coming, and it's very magical. And then once it starts, everybody is just ready for it and excited and just in a very festive mood and participate. They clap, they sing along, or they listen. And many times in front of the grandstands is where the bands will stop and play a little bit. And that's always fun too.
Yeah, I think because I've only had the experience of being in the grandstand seats, which I really love because I didn't get to go to the parade. I wasn't living out here in middle school or high school when I think I would have been in the prime age for wanting to stay up all night to wait for the parade. But since I was older, by the time I was out here for the parade, I think the grandstands are the perfect fit for me now. But I do love that for years that I don't have the tickets for the grandstand, especially if maybe it's not in the budget for me to get them, that I do at least have the opportunity to be able to go camp out and try to get a good spot on Colorado Boulevard. But I also have to work most New Year's Eves, so it's not always very doable for me to get there super early. And I guess that is the great part about the grandstands is you don't have to worry about if you can't get there by a certain time, because when you are lining up at the street, on the street, like I'm short, and so if I'm not, you know, in the front part of the viewing area, I'm not going to be able to see as well. But in the grandstands, I know regardless of when I get there, I'm still going to be able to see well from my seat. So I do enjoy that.
That is very true. That is one plus for the grandstands. I will say when you camp out, there is a blue line. You can start camping out the night before or the day before, starting at noon. You can get up and set your things in a particular area to kind of save your spot. But there's this blue line that you have to stay behind until a certain time, and then you can move forward closer to the curb when it's after, I believe it's 11 p.m., but a certain time they'll let you move a little closer. But I will say the closer it gets to parade time, you will have been camping out all night. You think you have your little spot and all is good. And all of a sudden, about 2 hours before the parade, leading up to parade time, hundreds of people come and try to crowd into every little nook and cranny in every spot. So it does get very cozy the closer it gets to parade time when you're on the street versus the grandstand, where you have an actual, it is cozy in the grandstands as well. However, you have an actual seat and you can bring a small stadium chair. There are guidelines for it, but it lets you know when you purchase your ticket, the size that you can bring. And we took stadium seats that had a back, and that was helpful as well, since you're sitting there for a while. It's a 5.5 mile parade, and it takes about 2 hours for the parade itself to go by, and you have to get there a little early, of course, and then wait for the crowd to trickle by, depending on where you are in the grandstands or which grandstands you select. If you're wanting an unobstructed view and to be right at the beginning, you would want to be at Orange Grove and at Colorado Boulevard would be like an unobstructed view, and those prices would be a little bit more. The tickets range from $60 to $110 or so for the grandstands. The further down the parade line you are, and depending on if your view is a little bit obstructed by trees or by buildings a little bit, you can still see very well. It's just you don't necessarily have a clear view of what's coming before it gets to you. But the further down the parade line you are, you don't have to get there as early as well. and you can usually get a better deal on your ticket.
Yes, I think I was closer to where it ended when I was in the grandstand. And this year I won tickets through Sharp Seating, which is the company that does the ticketing for the Rose Parade. They had a contest on Instagram and I just found out that I won 2 tickets for the grandstands as well as a parking pass, which is really huge. But it is really wonderful that there are so many opportunities and spaces where you can line up on the parade route and see it for free. But then if you do want that comfort of just knowing, you can sleep in a tiny bit. It is a very early parade, so you can't sleep in a ton, but you can still sleep more than staying up all night. So it really just depends on what type of experience you have or you want and whether or not that can fit in your budget. But I think doing the grandstands, I think at least once, is just really great just to give you a little bit of a different experience.
I agree.
And then if you can't make it to the parade itself or would just rather wait to get to see the floats up front, they do have what they call Float Fest, which takes place on New Year's Day after the parade as well as on January 2nd. And it's just an opportunity for you to get to see the floats up close in person.
Yes, they're parked on Sierra Madre Boulevard and Washington Boulevard in Pasadena. It's very near Pasadena High School and Victory Park, and parked for 3 hours after the parade. And it's about 2.5 miles of the floats, and there's typically 40 floats. I just suggest at the gate when you purchase your ticket that you pick up a brochure of the venue's layout, and then you're able to see the different float names and a little bit about the float and where they're located in case there's specific ones that you want to see.
Oh, that's a great tip. And another thing that I am really hoping to, I guess, get to do this year, since I haven't done Float Fest before, but I hope this is just a wonderful reminder for people that, you know, we never know what's going to happen in the future. No one could have predicted that the 2021 Rose Parade wouldn't get to happen. So if you've been wanting to go to the parade, or maybe you've been wanting to see the floats in person, just try to make it happen this year or next year. But it's just something that you must see in person. It is such an iconic Southern California event. And you know, I think something that is just synonymous with Pasadena, anytime I think of Pasadena, I always think of the Rose Parade and the Rose Bowl, and of course the little old lady from Pasadena, but those are just things that always come to my mind, and I think it just has really put that beautiful city on the map.
One tip for if you do decide that you want to camp out is try to be on the south side, and the sun will not be in your face the whole time.
Oh, that's a wonderful tip. And, you know, definitely dress warm, bring layers and blankets and probably a pack of those hot hands, because it is cold for California.
It is. Even in the early morning, it's cold if you're in the grandstands, but especially if you're camping out overnight. Also, they do have opportunities if you're not able to make it or you're not going to the parade, but you want to see some of the festivities. There is always a band fest. I believe it normally occurs around January 20th, and also an equestrian fest where you can see different bands perform and kind of, it's almost like a little battle of the band. It's kind of just a warm up for bands and also for the equestrian groups. You can see them as they prepare to get ready for the parade.
And see, that's so wonderful too, that they're are so many different ways to get to enjoy all of the elements of the parade, even if you can't necessarily make it to the parade itself.
That is so true. And it's also something that occurs not just on New Year's, but as you say, they already, the day after one parade, they're already planning for the following year with the themes and the floats. It's ongoing. So there's always something to see or find out around the Tournament of Roses or on their website.
Yes, so definitely a lot to get to take advantage of while being in this area. And I am so excited to get to continue this conversation in part two, which will be in our next episode, where we get to talk to our family friend about his connection to creating some rose parade floats.
I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to finding out more information about how those floats, the behind the scenes of getting it on paper and how it becomes life, and all of a sudden it's decorated and it's on the parade route.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Well, thank you so much, Mom, for being on this episode and talking about the Rose Parade with us. And I am so excited to get to welcome you back for part two.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope this episode has inspired you to consider attending the 2022 Rose Parade. For more information on what we discussed in today's episode, be sure to head to ladreaming.com and connect with me on Instagram at la.dreaming.